Yes, yes. Although if you get up early enough, you might experience a little bit of cool, but it's burned off very, very quick-like. So good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week. And we've been having a good week as well. But it's good to be here tonight, and good to see all of you. We'll go ahead and jump right into things this evening, and some prayer updates, and then, of course, some reminders and things coming up. Let's continue to remember our children's home, and I believe our kids, or at least some of them, or the girls, one is at camp this week, and so let's remember them. And Miss Nancy Farmer had her eyes done the other day and last week, and so she's doing all right from that. Spoke with her a little bit Sunday night, had an opportunity to. And so, but let's remember her, Brother Harold Dolph, and his situations of life. I know he had a few appointments, had an MRI done, and so he's going to get results on that soon. Leonard Dolores Palmer, Miss Dolores' upcoming surgery. Not sure when that is, but I'll. Pretty quick. Okay. Let's remember her with this hernia operation she's going to have. Pretty big deal. So let's remember her, Brother Leonard, and Miss Dawn Capistrano, upcoming surgery she's having. Remember her. Miss Connie Norton, Trail's wife, who's continuing to get better from her heart issues, and of course Miss Claudia. Let's remember Miss Claudia in our prayers. Maybe someone has a prayer request or an update or something you'd like to make mention of. Praise, Miss Mary. This is a 7-year-old. We will certainly remember.
Her name is Riley Faith.
Riley Faith. Thank you for that. A song? All right. Right, right. Just hang in there. There'll be a job for you sooner than later, I'm sure. Let's remember a song, Miss Cassie.
My cousin Brenda is 6 months older than me. She goes July the 11th. It's a major surgery. They found some cancer. Her mother passed away 2 years before my mother passed away.
This is your cousin? Unspoken. Miss Amber at the back, good to see you.
Hi. My sister's mother-in-law has stage 4 lung cancer. She's been in the hospital while battling that, so I just want to pray for her. They took her off the ventilator, and we're hoping to see a change, so we're looking towards the new side, but
yes.
Just pray that she gets better, because her husband lost his dad just a couple years ago, and it's just going to be really tough.
Absolutely. We'll remember this for sure. Thank you for mentioning that. Anyone else? All right. Well, let's just remember this coming up Sunday, Lord's Day, and Sunday night will be our, which typically is our, like last Sunday would have been our dinner, last Sunday night of the month. We provide dinner, but we're moving it, and we have moved it to this coming up Sunday night. This will be our 4th of July celebration fellowship downstairs at 5 o'clock. And so remember that if you would, and we may share a brief word, just a brief devotion. I know we'll get in something while we're down there as far as a devotion, but it'll probably be brief, and but it'll be a good time of fellowship together celebrating the 4th of July. And so remember that. And then, of course, right around the corner will be the ladies' prayer brunch. Miss Mary's house, Mary Ann, and that's at 11 o'clock, July 13th on Thursday, and so remember that. All right. Anybody else? Okay. All right, well, all that would, meet us in the altar or bow ahead of wherever you're at, and we'll have us a time of prayer together. Then Brother Jeff will come along and bring us a song. still getting used to our new lights. Y'all like that? And I tell you, I went back on Facebook Live, or Facebook, and looked at Sunday morning service, and it makes it look so much brighter, so much different watching on Facebook. It looks like just a different church. And, of course, in person, it's different. It's bright. But that's a good thing. I told Brother Larry, thank you for doing that. And I think he's going to complete the chandeliers, too. So we're going to be letting our light shine, aren't we? And but that's a blessing. He's trying to keep up on the lighting around here. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that song. And it says, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. We all have a story, don't we? And the good part is, our story isn't over yet. And God has helped, and He will continue to help us. And so I appreciate that song selection tonight, brother. Appreciate you every Wednesday night. All right, Psalm 138 tonight. Psalm 138. I want to be where we're at. Book of Psalms, Psalm 138. When I first got saved, I thought it was palms. Palms. And but Psalm 138, another simple lesson. We felt like Sunday morning, a simple message out of Psalms. Truths for today is what we shared Sunday morning. Just a simple approach. And we want to take that same simple approach tonight. So that's what we're going to look at. Just a simple lesson tonight. But I pray that God's Word would encourage you and give you hope for today and for tomorrow. But I do want to bow for another quick word of prayer. And then we're going to read from verse number 6 down to verse number 8, Psalm 138, 6 through 8. Father, we bow one more time in Jesus' name. I pray for the next few moments, Lord, that you would give me a clear head and a calm heart. Father, I pray that your word will go forth. God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would use it to encourage and strengthen the saints tonight as we gather in your house around your word. It's midweek. We've got a few more days to go before Sunday. So, Lord, we need to have an encounter with you tonight. And we believe your word is alive and it has a heartbeat to it. So, Lord, I pray that you'll give us life tonight. Breathe upon us tonight, Lord, and encourage our souls tonight. And we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Psalm 138. Of course, David is the writer here in Psalm 138. A psalm of David, and like many of David's psalms, he is given poetry. He is given praise. Many places he is running from the enemy, and he's you see David's the side of David when he's up, and you see the side of David when he's down. And I'm thankful for that, because that's our lives. Some days we're up, some days we're down. And yet we see that in the life of David. And so that's what we see here. We see a little bit of both, the ups and downs. Verse number 6, the Bible says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Then verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not works of thine own hands. That's completing chapter 138. And as you see, we see a little bit of both here. David starts off talking about how the Lord has respect to the lowly. In verse 6, verse 7, he mentions his enemies. In verse number 8, talks about how it's going to all work out. And so tonight I want to look at verse 6, 7, and 8. And I want to talk about God's involvement in our lives. God's involvement in our lives. I'm glad that our Heavenly Father is a present parent. I've mentioned in the past couple sermons, I believe, about being present, especially last Sunday morning, about being present, about how that we can be present in body but not present in mind. So it's good to be present in body and in mind. But especially being a parent when you have children, to be that present parent. Being involved with your children day in and day out, looking after them, providing for, correcting them, keeping them on the right path. And so I'm glad tonight that we have a present parent. God is our, He is our Father, our Heavenly Father, and He's present. And so David mentions some things here about the involvement of our Heavenly Father. He mentions God's involvement in his life. And that's what I want to mention tonight, God's involvement in our life. Sometimes we may feel like he's not near. Sometimes we may feel like that he's abandoned us, but he hasn't. He hasn't. I found out in my years of salvation, the times where I feel abandoned by God, it's just a trial of my faith, so that I won't rely on feelings and I will just rest on truth. That is, he's never left me nor forsaken me. So what does David say? Number one, in verse number 6, we see the awareness of God. David talks about how that God is aware of his life, and tonight God is aware of our life. Verse 6, he says, though the Lord be high. In other words, he's up there. He's in heaven. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. And notice, if you would, the word respect here. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. That word respect means to see. It means to discern. It means to know. And so David is literally saying here that God knows everything about his life. God is aware, he's aware of his life. He sees his life. From his abode in heaven, he sees his life. Now we know that the Lord Jesus is within us. We know that. He's everywhere we go. But yet, he is giving us a picture here of a, if I could say it this way, a long-distance relationship. You know about long-distance relationships. At least you probably have heard about them, how they're really difficult to maintain, a long-distance relationship. And they don't always work. But this is a long-distance relationship that works. Although God is in heaven and we're down here, the Bible says he has respect unto the lowly, or he sees, he discerns the lowly. The word lowly here, I presented it as us being down here and God being up there, and that's the truth. But at the same time, lowly means depressed. It means humble. It means someone who is experiencing great difficulty. And so, though the Lord be high, and though we be down here, he understands and he sees exactly what we're going through, especially when we're depressed, especially when we are going through a struggle or a time of difficulty, God sees that. Now, he says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But then he says, but the proud he knoweth afar off. The Lord can differentiate those of a humble heart versus those of a proud heart. And while he recognizes the lowly of heart, he also recognizes the haughty of heart, those who are proud of heart. And he sees those that are lowly. He sees those. He discerns the hearts of those who are in difficulty, but he also discerns the hearts of those who are proud. And he gravitates in love toward those who are lowly. He deals with those who are proud. Now, look over in chapter 139. Notice, if you would, verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And so that's encouraging to us tonight. Because while we're here and we may be going through a dark time, there's other times where we go through good times where we can just say it is a time of light. In other words, we can see our path. We can understand what's going on. But then there's those dark times we can't see during dark times. We struggle during dark times. But the blessing is that the dark and the light to God are both alike. Not only can he see in the day, but he can see in the night. And that's a blessing to us. That, we just go ahead and say it. When we're on the mountaintop and everything's going great, how much do we lean on God? Not that much. But when we're in a valley and it's dark, how much do we lean on God? We lean on God a lot. And we're constantly learning how to lean on God on the mountain when things are great, and learning to lean on God in the valley when things are bad. But whether we're on the mountain or in the valley, we may be able to see things clearly in the light on the mountain, and we can't see clearly in the dark in the valley because it's dark. But we have a Father that can see equally. He can see in the light. He can see in the dark. I'll go a step further. He created the light in the dark. And so we have not only Father God who's aware of our situation, but we have Creator God who is aware of our situation. We serve Creator God. He's our Father God. And really, based upon those two truths of the Bible, there is nothing to worry about. But buddy, do we worry? You're looking at one who struggles with that. You know, I'm not putting myself out here like some big preacher who never struggles. You know me by now. You know, next month will be 5 years you've allowed me to be your pastor. And listen, you've seen me when I've been up. You could tell when I'm down. You know the difference. And I'm just like you. I'm right here where you're at. We're learning together. Just so happens God seemed fit to put me in this position, and I desire to be in this position to be a blessing and a help to you as I learn. But the blessing is that God is aware of light and darkness. They're both the same to him. Look back up at verse 11. I meant to read that in Psalm 139. David actually says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me. Even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And so that's just finishing our point out by reading those two verses together. Psalm 139 is an amazing chapter. I love Psalm 139. It talks about how much that God knows about us. You can go back and read it later. Verse 1 down through, well, really the whole chapter, but verse 1 through 4 talks about David mentioning, talk about how God is aware of his path, his downsitting. Let's just read it. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Let's stop right there. We've said this before. You've heard it before. God, and I believe to take this verse literally, I believe he knows and he's aware of you sitting down right now in this pew where you're at Calvary Baptist Church. He is aware of that. And he's aware whenever you stand up, get ready to head home tonight. He's aware of that. He was aware when you were sitting and those who came down front to pray, he was aware when you did that. And so, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. He understands us, our thought process. Have you ever been misunderstood by someone? Have you ever talked to someone till you're blue in the face trying to get your point across and you still leave like they never understood you? Frustrating. Frustrating. You just get to a point, you just walk away. So talk to you later. But God understands. He understands our thoughts afar off. Verse 3, thou compasseth my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. Our pathway he's familiar with. How you start your day, he knows about it. Your afternoons, he's there. At nighttime, he's familiar how you wind up your day. He is so familiar with our pathway in life. He compasses it, verse 3, the Bible says. He's acquainted with it. He knows it well. So what a blessing it is to know that we have a present parent, God, our Father. Verse 4 in that same chapter, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. He said, the fact that you know when I sit and when I stand and where I walk and when I lay down and get up, all and you understand me? He says, this knowledge is too wonderful for me. He says, I just can't attain to it. I can't comprehend it. And perhaps it's hard for us to comprehend that he's aware of what we're doing right now. And whether you go home tonight and you wet your pillow with your tears or you lay your head down in perfect peace with joy in your heart, And joy in your heart, with peace in your soul, he's aware of both. He knows about it. He's there. So back to Psalm 138, verse 6, we see the awareness of God. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect. He knows, he sees unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. So God's involvement in our lives, number one, the awareness of God. But notice, if you would, in verse 7, the intervention of God. So we know he's aware, but also we see that he intervenes. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Doesn't that first phrase sound familiar in David's writing? Though I walk. Sounds familiar. Psalm 23, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me, and on and on and on. In verse 7, we see the intervention of God. And that is, David is telling us that God will help us in our lives. Look at the word revive here. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. That word revive means to repair. It means restore, nourish up. And I like how he uses the word though. Because he's saying, I'm not out of it yet. I'm in it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt repair me. okay, God, I'm counting on you. I'm banking on that. Thou will repair me. Thou will restore me. Thou will nourish me. It's like when your car breaks down, you take it to the shop to get repaired. And it's so funny. Well, I can laugh now, but a few weeks ago, you know, brakes were squeaking. You know, I didn't think it was as bad as it was. On the Avalon, I call her Ava, her Ava Avalon. We brought Lily home from the hospital when she was born, and now she's getting ready to drive the Avalon. So she has gotten a name through the years. It's Ava. You know, she's been good. But all four brakes, rotors, just you know, repair it. And so before I went in there, I didn't have no brakes. It was metal on metal. And just, you know, putting stuff off, waiting to the last minute. And then finally you're thinking, okay, I may be roadkill if I'm not careful. And so I pulled in there, and then they fixed me up. I tell you what, I left the shop. I was going to the red light, and I mashed the brake like I did when they were squeaking. And I'm like, all I had to do, last night we were coming home from the Braves game. And I was going through an intersection. Let's see, Cobb Parkway, Windy Hill, that terrible intersection. I tapped the brakes because there was a car in the turn lane, and we all went, Erk! And Christy said, what was that? I said, sorry, I just had to tap the brakes just in case they were going to pull out in front of us. I said, it's new brakes. But you see, Ava got repaired, and there was no hesitation in going to the stadium and back. I mean, if I had to, I'll be ready for it. And the same way with us in our lives, that, you know, we're going through times of trouble. We're about to break down. We need new brake pads. And God has a way, if we let Him, if we trust Him with it, though we may wet our pillow with tears at night, if we trust Him with it, if we let Him, He will restore us. Like going to the shop and leaving new. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me, restore me, nourish up me, repair me. Look at the word trouble. That word trouble means tightness or anguish. It's through the idea actually of being a claustrophobic, being in tight places and, you know, can't breathe. I tell you, and of course, I said this Sunday morning, and I want to use the illustration again. No disrespect to the submersible Titan that the people died going down to the Titanic in the submarine. But do you realize they got in there, and I think it was 17 bolts, zzz, 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 all the way around. They were sealed in there. 17 bolts going in, sealed in that little thing. Me and Christy both just listening to reporters, different things people have said. And one guy made a good point. He said, you know, this thing had no emergency escape, you know, hatch, nowhere. Even if they came to the top and were floating, they'd still die. Because no air, being sealed in there, hoping someone would find you. And so when I'm thinking about that, and they showed a picture of it. I don't know if anybody's seen inside those, if not that one, another one. But, I mean, it's not a big spot. I mean, you could slide in a mattress in there, a full-size mattress, and that's it. Everybody have to lay down like hot dogs to fit in there. And so five of them, again, no disrespect at all, but five of them in there. I know if it was me in there, I couldn't do it. No, I'd rather put on scuba gear and try to go down there. But claustrophobia, being claustrophobic, and God rest their souls, I couldn't imagine. And then getting so deep down there with that water pressure that it imploded and they just immediately died. It's terrible. Terrible. On the news today, they were pulling up pieces of it. And I couldn't imagine what the family was thinking watching that, you know. But just being claustrophobic, being in that tight place, a place of anguish, sometimes in life we get our nerves, our anxiety levels, things that we're working on, things that are not happening. You know, we get to a place sometimes where there's this tightness of chest affecting our breathing. There's anxiety. We go to the doctor for help and hoping they'll give us a couple pills to help us through it. Amen. But still, even though those things have their place and we take our meds and we go through it, but sometimes that tightness and those places of anguish is still there. And so he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, those tight places, the places of anguish, the places where I feel claustrophobic, where I feel like I'm going to die, he says, thou will revive me. So we have a decision to make. Are we going to trust God to revive us? Of course, do our part. Communicate to him. That's prayer. And then allow him to communicate to us. That's meditating on his word. And then just taking him at his word. He will revive us. Let me ask you a question. Some of you, this time a year ago, perhaps maybe even a year or two before that, at some point in your life, you said, I'll never make it. You may not have uttered the words, I'll never make it, but you were in a situation where you felt like it was looking dark and grim, and you felt like you may not make it through it. Has everybody been there? I mean, you don't have to raise a hand and wave a flag, but guess what? You're here tonight. What was that? That was God reviving you. God sending you help somehow, some way, whether it was through a person, whether it was just through his spirit energizing you day in and day out, springing up that little bit of hope. Someone said one time, this old preacher said, it's just like God injecting a shot of a syringe full of grace when you need it. And then the next day, he'll just inject a syringe full of grace the next day when you need it. He's our Father, but he's our doctor. He's here for us. We didn't think we were going to make it through those things, but we made it. And we may be back at that place tonight where we feel like we won't make it. But just reflect back on how you have been there before and you made it. And that's how we make it through this thing now and go on into the future and walk with God. It's by reflecting back on what he's brought us from and also trusting in his word continually. There's no new antidote to this. There's nothing new we're sharing tonight. This is all fundamentals of the faith. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now listen to this. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. All right. That second part of that verse tells us that God's going to do two things. Number one, he's going to smack. And number two, he's going to save. Now, this is my thinking. That last phrase, and thy right hand shall save me. So, with his right hand, he's going to save us. And with his left hand, he's going to smack our enemies. How about that? He says it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Get off of him, old boy. Get up, son, daughter. Get away from him or her, devil. Get up, son and daughter. He says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. He's our protector. Has there ever been a bully in your life? I mean, you know, even grown-ups have to deal with bullies sometimes. You know, people who talk about you. Miss Mary Kelly, you ain't no bully, are you? Even as adults, we deal with bullies. You say, what is an adult bully? Well, I mean, there's a physical aspect of it, someone physically being a bully, even to an adult, as an adult. People talking about you. People being malicious. People from a distance talking big talk. But if they were right there in your face, they wouldn't say a word. And I'm not promoting anger. And I'm not promoting striking a fist at them. I'm not saying do that. Just talking about bullies and things we deal with. But then what about the devil? He's the biggest bully. He likes to bring up our past and our future. Well, he likes to bring up our past, and we bring up his future because we know where he's going to be. But at any rate, the Lord will do two things for us. He will smack and he'll save. He'll smack the enemy and he'll save us from our troubles or in our troubles. He will save us. And the Lord's been faithful thus far, and I feel like he'll continue to be faithful until we reach home. So we see the intervention of God. We see the awareness of God, God's involvement in our lives. The lesson tonight, one more, and that is verse number 8, the completion of God. The completion of God. He says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. We see the completion of God. God's the one who created us. God's the one who called us to salvation. And no matter what we're going through, doesn't it just make sense? Since he created us and since he saved us, that is the day we called on his name to save us, doesn't it just make sense that he will complete what he started? It says, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The word perfect here means completion. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. That word concerneth, it means that which involves me. So, it's whatever is going on in your life right now, anything that you're involved with, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, if you're a child of God, whatever it is that you're concerned about, whatever it is that you're involved with, whether good or bad, God will complete your life because he saved you. He created you and he saved you. He didn't just save us and said, okay, good job, go get them. No, but he created us, and then when we called on him for salvation, he saved us. And there's sometimes during our salvation experience when we obey, hopefully most of the times, and the things we encounter when we obey that we don't ask for, the troubles, God will complete those troubles which concern us. That means God will use the good, the bad, the ugly, everything, all the hard times, the failed and broken dreams, the things we didn't ask for, God will use that to mature us. God will use that to complete us. God will bring it to an end. But even the times when we're not obedient, when we do our own thing, God will, as our Heavenly Father, will deal with us as children. And sometimes we just need a spanking. And Lily thinks she's too old to get a spanking? No. She's not too old to get a spanking. In fact, I had to loosen up my old arm here. You know, when she was little, okay, she'd get a little pop. And, you know, she'd cry her eyes out. And, you know, she's fine. Then there was a stage where, you know, no spanking's needed. We're in the teenage years now. I got to, hey, getting that thing loose. And, you know. Don't get caught spanking your kids in public. You may go to jail. Bible still says, he that spareth the rod hateth the child. And I know there's one more than one way to discipline your children. But sometimes, and I know the spanking, that gives you an immediate response. Ah, I'm sorry, that hurt. But, you know, when you speak to the heart, it's more of a lasting change. And so I've tried to do that through the years, Christy and I. And she probably has about 5 spankings since she's been alive. She's getting ready to be 16 in September. But I've been trying to maintain that speaking to the heart while we're experiencing these teen years. And I'm starting to struggle a little bit on that. And so I'm starting to revert back to the old spanking. And, no, she's a great child. Y'all know that. Y'all know that. But she's not perfect like no one is. She has to be reared the right way. And so I'm just keeping my arm loose. That's all I'm saying. Just keep my arm loose. And but, no, anything that is ever done is done out of love. And it is definitely the last resort, a pop, you know. But the same thing goes with God. If I get off course, if I turned a blinded eye to the Lord, say no, I'm doing this, Lord. Okay. You don't understand. He don't understand. I'm doing this, and you're not going to tell me otherwise. Oh, y'all didn't expect that, did you? Say, hey, you say God don't spank. Yeah, he does. He has a way of getting our attention. And listen, it works. It works. Said all that to say this, that God will perfect, he will complete that which concerneth us, the things that we're involved with that's concerning to us, it's concerning to him. And if he created us, and if he saved us, those that are saved, if he saved us, then he will deal with us as a father, and he will complete his mission. Notice the second part of this verse, thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Then he says, forsake not the works of thine own hands. I believe that last part, forsake not the works of thine own hands, is a prayer of faith here. It's a prayer of faith. David saying, Lord, I know you're not going to forsake me, but at this present moment, I'm praying that you would just continue that work. It feels like sometimes you're not near. It feels like sometimes you may have forsaken me. I know you haven't, and I know you won't, but my prayer is that you forsake not the works of your own hands. And so David is saying that God has been there for him. He will continue to be there for him. He has ups and downs like we all do. But he's just saying that God will complete that which concerneth us. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The completion of God. The intervention of God. The awareness of God. And that's God's involvement in our lives. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you do for us. Lord, I thank you for even having a few laughs tonight. It's always so good to have a few laughs during the times of being serious. But I pray, Lord, that you would just apply the message to all of our hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, that nothing was confusing or out of context. I did my best to lay it out the way that I felt it was in the chapter. And so I pray that you just be with us, keep us safe, bring us back safely this coming Sunday. We love you tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we leave?